as followers of Jesus, we must seek the things above, put off what is earthly, and put on what is godly.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Folks, I have an amazing offer for you here today. And I promise you that it is true. This is true. This is a real offer, a genuine offer. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, here it is. How would you like a brand new wardrobe? Anybody here, would you like a brand new wardrobe? Maybe clear out all those old, worn out stuff and nice brand new clothes?
No.
No? Somebody's like, oh, okay, Steve, you're happy with that, right? What you got? Okay, all right. Well, I want to offer all of you here today a nice, lovely, brand new wardrobe to put off all of the old, worn out stuff and put on brand new clothes. But I guess maybe I should have clarified, I'm not talking about physical clothes here. This, I told you, it's a real offer. It's a genuine offer here. But I'm not talking about physical clothes here. I'm talking about spiritual clothes. I'm talking about godly virtues, that we put off old sinful things and we put on brand new Christ-like virtues here. And that is a genuine offer. And it's absolutely free. That doesn't mean it wasn't costly. It was costly. It cost God everything he had in Christ. But it is free to us then to take here. It's free for the taking, a brand new wardrobe today. So for today then is a standalone message. We'll have a new series coming up shortly here. But for today then, I just wanted us to think about a change of mind and a change of clothes. A change of mind and a change of clothes. We'll be looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And here is the key thought that I would like us to take away from this here today. And that is, as followers of Jesus, we must seek the things above, put off what is earthly, and put on what is godly. Seek the things above, put off what is earthly, and put on what is godly. Again, we'll be in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. But first, a little context here. Here, as you know, one of the ongoing themes that we see in the New Testament epistles again and again and again is confronting false teaching. That was coming into the church in that day. It's still a danger today, isn't it? But Paul here is confronting some dangerous, destructive teaching that was coming into the church there at Colossae. But the problem is, it isn't just teaching, which is something in our minds then, but also what? It affects then how we think and how we act, how we live. And so this dangerous, destructive teaching had entered the church, and Paul is seeking to combat that, but also then some false ideas and some false activities then that were going along with it. It appears then that there was a false teacher who had come into the church and was holding a good bit of influence over them. And this teaching was devaluing the person of Christ. It was elevating angels and devaluing the person of Christ. And with that then, the wonder and the beauty and the joy that is our new identity in Christ. You know, Scripture tells us that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are a new what? A new creation, a new creature, right? That the old is gone, the new has come. That with that we have a new nature, a new identity, that we have a new capacity that we never had before as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to put off that old and put on that new, live in the light and the reality of that new nature that we have in Christ. The truth, of course, then, as Paul is proclaiming here, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is supreme. He is God. He is God in the flesh. He is supreme, and he is highly exalted over everything, over everyone and everything, over angels and all of the creation. And that as believers, then, we are in Christ. You know, I think that is a critical thing for us to understand as believers in Jesus, is that we are in Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means that we are, by faith in Him, we are united then with Him in His life, His death, and His resurrection. That's what it means to be in Christ, to be united with Him in His life, His death, and His resurrection. We have the life of Christ in us. That is the hope of eternal life, certainly. But it is also then we have a new life, a new way of living, a new life, an abundant life that is ours in Christ. His life, Him living His life in us then. Also then we have the death of Christ. We are united with Him in His death, the death of Christ for us. That is that He took the judgment, the punishment for our sins upon Himself. And He paid the price, He paid that penalty for us so that we wouldn't have to then. We are united with Him then that we, united with Him, have died to sin. And we, that punishment for our sin has been paid in Him then, united in His life, united in His death. And then this is the really great part then. We are united with Him in His what? His resurrection. You know, Christ triumphed over death and He was raised. And we are united with Him in His resurrection. Because He is raised, it means what? That we too will be raised then with Him. So therefore then, in light of that then, we need to magnify the person of Christ. We need to put off earthly things and put on new things, our new identity in Christ then. So with that then, let's take a look at the book of Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Start with verses 1 through 4. Here Paul says, "If then you have been raised with Christ." And by the way, when he says, "if then," there's no question about it. We have, right? Through faith in Christ, we have. We might say, "since then." But it's if then, since then, you have been raised with Christ, do what? Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Boy, that's a whole series right there, you know, just in that little section right there. But for today, then, here's the main point I want us to take away from that little section right there, and that is this, is that we must seek the things above. Seek the things above. In other words, we must change our minds. Change our mind. Turn away from seeking the things on earth, the things here, and instead seek heavenly things. Seek the things that are above. So we said, remember, we said, if then you have been raised with Christ, that we could say that since then you have been raised with Christ. Remember, we're united with Him in His life, His death, and His resurrection. We've been united with Him in His resurrection, and we have been raised with Him, which means that through Christ, we have conquered with Him sin and death, that we have overcome through His overcoming, united with Him. And therefore, since we have been raised with Him, let us then seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You know, there is that picture, that imagery of in the scriptures there of Christ. When He arose, He ascended after the resurrection, 40 days after He ascended into heaven. He returned to heaven, and the scripture tells us what? He sat down at the right hand of God. And that scripture, that sitting down, that is something you do what? When the job is done, mission accomplished, right? He had accomplished the purpose for which He had come into the world, and so He sat down at the right hand of God. You know, interestingly enough, we were talking about this at our Wednesday night Bible study just the other day here, as we're studying the book of Acts. And in there, we were reading of the account of Stephen, the first martyr, the martyrdom of Stephen there. And we read as Stephen is speaking then, and the crowd was getting rather upset with him. And they were going to stone him for his alleged blasphemy, for how he spoke, was speaking about Christ, the things that he was saying that they didn't like, the crowd didn't like. And we're told then that Stephen, that God parted that curtain. Stephen was able to look into heaven. And what did he see? Jesus was doing what? He was standing there at the right hand of God, as if to say what? As to welcome him, to hold out his arms and to welcome him into heaven then. But here then, we're told that Christ, he is seated at the right hand of God because he has accomplished all that he came into the world to do. And so, because of that, our salvation is complete in him, in Christ. The job is done. Now, we're still in process of working this thing out, working this salvation out, right? We have not yet fully experienced all aspects of our salvation, but it is yours now. All of it, every bit of it, through faith in Christ. And so because we have been raised with him then, let's not spend our time, let's not focus our heart's desires and attention and focus on the things of this life and earthly things, but rather let's seek the things that are above. I like this. What does it mean to set your mind on things that are above? One commentator expressed it this way, which I think is good. It says, to set our mind on things above means to make heavenly things, make it our heart's central focus. You know what? Is that your heart's central focus? Is it heaven, heavenly things? Now, when I say setting our mind on heaven and heavenly things, I don't mean, and Paul doesn't mean here, that we have no interest or no concern whatsoever with anything that's happening on earth. Of course we do, right? Of course, there are things that we need to attend to on this earth, right? I was very pleased to hear there was a family here in our church. They needed their housing situation, and they were able to work it out, and they were able to buy the home that they were in, which is wonderful now, so they don't have to move. Isn't that great news when you don't have to move? You thought you were going to have to move, and then it turns out you don't have to, right? So praise the Lord. That's right. So it's delighted to hear that. And so, you know what? You had to spend some time thinking about that, right? Of course, we have things, we need to think about that. And Paul isn't saying, don't think about any of that. He's talking about our heart's central focus, being so attached to this life and to the things of this life and this world, its values. Now, sometimes there's nothing wrong with having a home. We need to have a home, right? But sometimes, though, as we'll see then, when we're setting our hearts on earthly things, it can mean sinful things, though, then, too, right? And we need to turn away from those, to change our minds, repent, change our minds, and turn away from those things. Instead, then, set your mind on things above, on heavenly things. I would suggest that means what? It's godliness. It's Christ-likeness. It's heaven's truth, heaven's attitudes, heaven's priorities, heaven's way of life. We need to think of our lives then, not about the here and the now, but what God says is true and right and good. What God's attitudes and priorities are, and what heaven says, what God says about how then we ought to live our lives. So let's change our minds. Let's not focus on earthly things. Doesn't mean completely ignore them. We have to think about earthly things too. But our heart's central focus is on heavenly things, godly things, heaven's truth. Heaven's truth is the truth, right? You know, I just realized as I said that, we're living in a culture now where people think that truth is relative from one person to another, and that it's my truth, your truth, and living your truth and all that. The reality is what? Truth is truth, right? And you may or may not know the truth, but truth is truth, right? And it's independent of what we may think about it. And so when I say heaven's truth, I don't mean like heaven's truth, my truth, your truth. I don't mean that. I mean the truth, right? The truth. The truth. Heaven's attitudes. Heaven's priorities. Heaven's way of life. Set our minds on those things. Those things that are above. Why? For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Remember, he said that we're in Christ. We're united with him in his life, his death, and his resurrection. Here we've seen what? You've been raised with him, united with him in his resurrection. Seek the things that are above. Why? For you have died. What? We died with Christ. We died to sin. We have a new life now in him. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. Isn't that kind of a beautiful picture there? That it's like our life and all that we have, all that God has done for us in Christ, it's like it's hidden away. Now, that doesn't mean completely hidden. We know some things about it, right? But it's hidden away in Christ. It's protected by God. That he is all his promises he is going to reveal to us. And we're going to experience that in its fullness. We only know this much of it right now. But our lives are hidden in Christ, protected by Christ, by God's power. And then there's a promise, verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When the scripture says, when Christ appears, what's that talking about? What's that referring to? The second coming, right? So when Christ comes again, you also will appear with him in glory. You know, when Jesus comes back, he's not coming alone. He's bringing heaven's army with him. And who else is he bringing with him?
Me.
You, me, all. He's bringing his church for all the ages. You ever think, we often think of when Jesus comes again, we just imagine, well, that like we're just going to be, maybe if he comes in our life, we're going to be here. Oh, and here he comes. And oh, there he is. No, we're going to come with him. Jesus' second coming, you're going to accompany him on that. And so when he appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That we will be changed entirely and completely when we are with him in his presence. And when we come with him in his glory at his second coming. This life in Christ, our character will be completely changed in him. We will be holy as he is holy. Our word, our attitudes, our deeds, everything will be like Christ, including our body. Our body will be changed and transformed to be like his resurrection body. And so when Christ, who is our life, appears, we will also appear with him in glory, completely changed then to be like Christ. Now, I want to share something with you here. I debated about this, and then I decided, you know what, I'm going to put it out here. I'm going to ask for your ruling, okay? I need a ruling. I need a judgment call here on something, okay, folks? This may be the worst illustration I've ever given, all right? And I need your ruling here to see, is it the worst illustration ever? I don't know. Because it was one of those things, earlier this week, I was having breakfast, and this thought occurred to me, and I thought, man, that's a great illustration. You know, that'll work great, you know, for the message here this Sunday. And then you know how sometimes something sounds like a really great idea at the time, and then a little time goes by, and you're like, you know, I'm not so sure about that. And so then I was debating, do I share this illustration or not? And then I was kind of like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then it came back and then toward later in the week. It's like, you know what? Why don't you just put it out there? It's like, you know, maybe it isn't that bad. And so, folks, I need some input here on this, okay? I want to know, is this the worst illustration ever, okay? But all right, here goes. Now, if you know me at all, you know that one of my strong suits is not cooking, right? Who knows that? Who knows I'm not exactly the world's greatest cook, right? Okay. Well, that said, I want you to know I've been making efforts to do better, you know, with that. And I've been doing better with that. And I know some of you, when I share this, you're going to say, you call that cooking? Well, believe me, it's progress, folks. Baby steps, folks. Baby steps. Baby steps. Little at a time here, okay? But here's something. You see, I discovered something, and I thought, man, these things are great, all right? And here it is. So here's my version of cooking. Okay, you ready for this here? Is I discovered something. Maybe some of you know this. It's a product by Orida. It's called Just Crack an Egg. Is anybody familiar with these things? You know what these things are? Okay, you know what they are. So what you do is you just, it's got all the ingredients for like an omelet or souffle or whatever. I don't know the difference between the two of them. So whatever it is. So anyway, what is it? It's got all the raw ingredients that you need. Like this one's called the ultimate scramble here. So you got sausage and cheese, potatoes, onions, green, red peppers, that kind of thing. So you got all these ingredients in there, right? And so what you do is you take it out, you take out, and then you take an egg, you crack an egg, and I had to look. This true story here, folks. I realized that I didn't know how to crack an egg, okay? And then I found out, it doesn't generally just break nice and clean every single time, right? You just do it and you put a little pressure on it, and the shell's probably not going to go in there, okay? See, that's what I was afraid of. I'm going to get all the shells in there and everything, right? So I found out, no, just crack the egg and do it, and the shell probably won't go in there, okay? Sometimes maybe a little piece or something, you know, and you get it there. So I discovered that, all right? Baby steps, folks, here. So you crack an egg and you put it in there, and you take all the ingredients and you mix it all up, right? And then you put it in the microwave for like 30 seconds. You take it out, and then you mix it up some more, put it in for like another 40 seconds, and then voila, out comes this wonderful, delicious omelet, souffle, whatever it is, I don't know. But it's delicious, okay? Now you're wondering, what are you talking about here? How is this an illustration of anything? Well, it says, you know, when Christ appears, who is your life appears, you also will appear with him in glory. How we are going to be totally transformed and changed and like Christ, right? And I was sitting there, I was thinking about this, and it's like, you know, you put all these ingredients in here, and you mix, you break an egg, and you crack and put it in there, and you mix these things all up. And man, you know what? This is just a mess in this bowl here, right? You know, and then you put it in the microwave for 30 seconds, you take it out, it's still kind of a mess. And you mix it up some more and you put it back in the microwave, and then something incredible happens. It transforms like that, right? You know, and so here I was thinking, you know what? One day then, here, God is going to take all of the broken, mixed up mess that is my life and yours, and he's going to, boom, transform it like that. Right now, it doesn't look like much of anything, but one day, compared to what it will be, it's going to be changed by God's power just like that. Amazing, isn't it? Okay, who thinks that's the worst illustration you've ever heard? Is that a terrible illustration? Only because you're hungry. Okay, so here you go, Jerry. Yeah, so there you go. So, all right, empty promise there, right? There you go. So, all right. All right. So, okay, was it that bad? What do you think? That wasn't bad. So my instinct to go ahead with it apparently was okay then. All right. So, yeah, God's going to take that broken, mixed up mess and change it like that. It's wonderful, isn't it? Let's go on to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. It says, in light of all of that, in light of this truth that we've just heard about who we are in Christ and what God is going to do, set your mind then on things above, and then do what? You see, in one sense, God is doing everything for us and has done everything for us in Christ, hasn't he? But in another sense, though, you and I, we're called to cooperate with him, cooperate with the work of his Spirit in our lives. There are things we need to do. What? We need to believe, but we need to obey, right? So we're told here then, Colossians 3, verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So we need to seek the things above, and we also then need to put off what is earthly. We need to change our mind, seek the things above, not the earthly things. We need to change our clothes. Here's that brand new wardrobe I promised you right here. Well, actually, here's the old wardrobe. We got to look at the old wardrobe first. Next one, we'll look at the new wardrobe. But you say, why are you talking about this wardrobe and changing clothes here? Well, it's because in this passage here and in what follows here, Paul is employing a metaphor to describe what we are to do concerning our new nature. That is, our new identity, our new capacity that we have in Christ. And so here then, he uses language here, which in their day, they would have understood is this putting off and putting on. It's the language of they would use for putting off old clothes and putting on new clothes. And that's what he's telling them to do, that our life in Christ, you know, is we must put off the old, dirty old clothes of sin and put on the new clothes of righteousness then. So put to death then. Put off the old, dirty, ragged clothes, sinful things. Put on fresh, clean, new clothes of righteousness. Put to death first, though, what is earthly. How do we put to death things that are earthly, the sinful things? Well, it's a lifestyle. It's walking in repentance and dependence. Repentance and dependence. Remember we said repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action, a change of course, a change of life. Repent and depend. Depend on God's power. Depend on the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Repentance and dependence. Repentance from indwelling sin and dependence on God's power through the indwelling Holy Spirit then. So here are the things. He gives a list of things then for to put them all away. Put them all away. You know, sometimes when I, you know what, I'm going to put away this sin and this sin and that sin, but I kind of like this one. I might hold on to this one for a little while, right? Okay, who's going to be honest enough to admit you've done that, that you've decided, I think I'll hold on to this one for a little while, right? We all have. But no, don't put away the ones that are really bothering you. Put them all away, right? Put them all away. So just to read this, I'm not going to go into detail here about all one of these things. I just want us to, maybe would you ask right now, would you just ask the Spirit to maybe speak to your heart right now as I read through this? Maybe there's something that the Spirit is identifying in you right now that you need to repent of that. Change your mind about that. Turn away from it. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, lies. Or how about this one? Disunity. Disunity with the people of God. Where'd you get that? Where's that in there? Well, it's because what does he say there? He says what? Don't lie to one another. But rather what? Here there is, he's talking about our communal life here as the body of Christ. He says, verse 11, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. He's saying what? We are one in Christ. Whatever our racial background, ethnic background, religious background, whatever it may be, we are one in Christ through faith in Christ. And so I think that's one of the things we need to put away, put off. That's earthly things, is thinking of one another in earthly terms like that. Because the heavenly attitude is what? Christ is all and in all. We are all in Christ. Unity in Christ. So those are the things to put away. Well, if we're going to, we don't want to be found naked, right? So we're going to put those off. We need to put on new clothes. What are the new clothes? Well, we see right there. Starting in verse 12, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. There's that unity again. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we need to seek the things that are above. We need to put off what is earthly. And then finally, we need to put on what is godly. Put on what is godly. Put on what is heavenly then. We're told as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, you know, that before God had made anything, he already knew you and loved you and purposed in Christ to bless you forever. Isn't that incredible? God's holy and chosen ones, holy and beloved. In light of who you are then, put off that old, put on these new clothes. What are the new clothes here? Well, again, I would just say, as I said before, ask the Spirit, say maybe there's something that the Spirit is working with you on right now that you need to put on in your life. Is it a compassionate heart? Is it kindness? Is it humility, meekness, or patience? Or how about this one? This speaks again to that our life together as the body of Christ in unity. Bear with one another and forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. That's a hard thing to do sometimes, isn't it? But it is absolutely essential to unity in the Spirit, in the body. Bear with one another. I like that. I think I would paraphrase it in this way. Deal with it. Deal with one another. Just accept that people are different, right? And that they're going to disappoint you sometimes. They may irritate you sometimes. And you know, and you're thinking of that, and maybe you're thinking of somebody. Maybe you're thinking of the person sitting next to you, right? But I bet the person next to you might be thinking the same thing about you, right? Maybe you're thinking that about your pastor. Your pastor might be thinking that about some of you, you know, right? We need to bear with one another. Just deal with it. Put up with it. But sometimes, though, and I think that's part of it, is just, you know, accepting that we are not yet what we will be, are we? But sometimes, though, we need to forgive. There's sin involved. And we need to forgive. And how are we to forgive? As we have been forgiven. Ooh. There's not a lot of wiggle room in that, is there? Aren't you glad God's word doesn't leave us a lot of wiggle room? Sometimes we wish there was more wiggle room in there, right? But there really isn't, is there? Now, of course, the good news, though, too, is we don't have to do it. And we can't do this on our own in our own strength. But through Christ, through the Spirit, though, we can. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I don't think that's talking there about knowing the peace of God, although that's a good thing, an important thing. It's talking about our relationships there, that when we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, that means that more important than any difference of opinion or conflict we're having, we're going to let the peace of Christ umpire or be the judge in this, that we're going to seek the peace that we have in Christ, that that's more important than the issue here that's causing the conflict. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. See that? See it there? Also what? Gratitude and be thankful. Also some of what I would call word-mindedness. Word-mindedness. That is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Isn't that a nice picture of just being in the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, it's hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, applying the Word of God. Let it dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing, and also singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We did some of that a little bit earlier. We're going to do that again in just a moment here. But it's not just on Sunday morning. I think it's a way of life, isn't it? Singing these psalms. I heard Robin singing this morning. She wasn't even up here on the platform here. She was back in the lobby there. She was singing. You just can't help yourself, can you, Robin? Right?
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. And whatever we do, what? Do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus. We do everything then to honor the Lord Jesus and by his power and for his glory and honor. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, so what? What do you want me to do with this? Well, I want to remind us again of that central thought to take away from this here today. As followers of Jesus, we must do what? Seek the things above. Put off what is earthly. Put on what is godly. So maybe you need to change your mind. Change your mind. Too much focus is maybe your heart's central focus is on earthly things instead of heavenly things. Change your mind. Repentance is a lifestyle. It's not a one-time decision. It's a lifestyle, isn't it? And change your clothes. Repentance and dependence. Repentance and dependence. We depend on the Spirit then to help us change our clothes, to put to death the old, and to put on the new. Sometimes we see God work in a powerful way in many areas of our lives, but sometimes it is a battle in one specific thing, isn't it? But whatever it is, repent and depend. Repent and depend. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us all a brand new wardrobe, Lord. We know that we have not done anything to earn it. We can't do anything to earn it. We can't do anything to be worthy of it, Lord. But this is all by your love, your mercy, your grace, your kindness. So, Father, I pray then, Lord, for each one of us here, that we would change our minds and continue to endeavor day by day to change our clothes, to keep putting off that old and putting on the new. Thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we have the hope that one day when he appears, we will appear with him also in glory, that he's going to change us. He's going to take our mixed up, broken lives of all these ingredients that are just a mess here, and he's going to, in a moment, transform it into something wondrous and glorified, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that hope in him. Thank you that in Jesus, thank you that we have life in him, we've died with him, and we will rise with him. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.